Okay, for my learning target rubric, I focused on a quick assessment, which is based off of, it was a math assessment, based off of base 10 ideas, rounding, and using partial sums to solve equations. I created 4 learning targets, and those targets were based off of the standards that correlated with this assessment. Our first question asks how the process connects student learning. I actually had a discussion with my mentor teacher as well as another fourth grade team teacher. Just about using rubrics in general. He's a big fan of using rubrics. He thinks that they are very helpful with their class. He uses them a lot with his language arts lessons, and he also uses them. He actually offered me one of the rubrics that he uses for their presentations that they give. And he just said that they are extremely helpful because they give the kids a guideline to work with. They give them something to focus on. It gives them specific things that they can think about when they're working on their presentations or when they're working on their specific assignments. So he finds them very helpful, and it just keeps them on task. It keeps them working more diligently together. So he uses them quite often. Our second question talks about reflect on attributes of mastery for each learning target. So addressing whether the target is introduced, reinforced, or mastered at your grade level. Mrs. Larson actually helped me find I used 4 different areas I focused on for the rubric. The first 2 were math-oriented with the actual specific assessment. So rounding, which rounding is to the thousandths mastered at the fourth grade level. And writing and recognizing multi-digit whole numbers. That is actually at our grade level. The level 4 students always write multi-digit whole numbers using an expanded form to effectively support base 10 drawings. So that is using expanded form is introduced, I believe, in the 3rd grade, and it is mastered in the 4th grade. I need to double check those. But question 3 talks about comparing the wording of each category. Are the criteria clear? Did you address the learning targets? So I tried to go, I based the proficient category, just like we talked about in class, off of the learning target questions. And then I actually struggled to create the exceeds category. The wording for that, like, for example, to use to do so with extreme clarity, I struggled to get those words, and I'm not sure that they're the most effective, but I kind of did just like we talked about in class, and I kind of copied and pasted each one and then just changed it to either the strategic category usually had, like, sometimes, or let's see, with minimal mistakes. I think sometimes as we use again. And then I actually used a rubric making resource to look up some of the verbiage and the vocabulary. Okay, regarding regarding our categories chosen for the rubric, the rounding category, I double checked the standards and the progression document from the University of Arizona. And in 3rd grade, our 3rd grade standard says that students use place value understanding to round whole numbers to the nearest 10 or 100. So they use that 3rd digit to that 100th place value. And then in 4th grade, that is increased to any place. So the rounding category is mastered then in the 4th grade level. Writing and recognizing multi-digit whole numbers. This category is only mentioned in the 4th grade standards. So it does not, actually, I'm sorry, the expanded form or our problem discusses using a dot and stick base 10 drawings to draw out the expanded form of this number. And so Expanded form is only discussed in fourth grade. So I would say that is introduced and then also mastered in fourth grade. So, yeah. The partial sums question. Students are introduced to the back page. It asks on the assessment, it asks students to add the following using partial sums. And these are 1,000 place value, so four-digit numbers in the thousands place. So like 2,491 plus 3,807. And in second grade, students are introduced to this use of partial sums as their strategy for adding and subtracting, but they only use that within 100. In third grade, students also use partial sums as a strategy for solving addition and subtraction problems, but that is only up to numbers within 1,000. And so in fourth grade, this is where numbers larger than 1,000 are introduced to students. So this level is introduced in fourth grade. And then they also, though, move into the algorithm as a strategy for solving addition and subtraction in fourth grade. So things kind of change there. Our third category was precision. And then our fourth category was problem solving. And these are actually not from any specific grade level, but this, Professor Larson helped me find these, and these were based on the seven mathematical concepts that are, it talks about in the beginning of the Common Core Standards. It's more of a thinking and the different strategies that students use throughout each grade level. So it's not applied to any specific grade level in general. It's just more of like the overall structure for mathematical thinking. So let's see here. I'm just looking really quickly through the beginning of the standards to see if I can be more clear with that. It describes the varieties of expertise that mathematical educators at all levels should seek to develop in their students. So this is kind of just their way of thinking and how they process and solve problems, if they can communicate and represent and show their reasoning and make these connections throughout all grade levels. So we used precision there. So I started again with the calculates problems accurately and efficiently, and then expresses numerical answers with a degree of precision appropriate for the problem context. And then, so I got that from the Common Core Standards, and then kind of just went and changed it based on the level of understanding that students were showing, if they were exceeding or if they were novice. We changed that vocabulary a bit. Our fourth question asked us to brainstorm ways the assessment can be accommodated for students' learning plans. So this was a great assessment that can be accommodated because, for example, the first question asked students to round. It is a number that is 2,714. So if it needed to be accommodated, you could just change that to maybe a three-digit number in the hundreds place, or even in the tens place, depending on the student's needs. But the number sets can easily be changed for each question throughout this assessment. So we actually did make a second version of this assessment for one of our students in our class. So that was particularly helpful. Using partial sums, again, they can do the same. They can solve using partial sums. We just have smaller numbers. So you just change that number set again. So it worked well for him, actually. And then number five asks, does the process benefit your students or provide equitable access to content and knowledge for diverse learners? I thought that I think using a rubric is actually phenomenal because it is a way to very clearly state what all of your categories are. And through that 4-3-2-1, or novice to exceeds, however you want to label it, it shows exactly what those look like and what you want achieving that level of understanding looks like. So it definitely provides equitable access for the content knowledge. If some students need help understanding some of that vocabulary, they can reach out for assistance there. Or if you need, if you think that things need to be clarified, you can definitely do that. But it is equitable in that all students are receiving the same exact guidelines. And the assessment can be changed. So that can kind of, that takes that from equal to equitable. I guess the rubric itself is equal, but because you can change the assessment, it makes the process equitable for all students and very clear. So, and then our last question was, how does the rubric promote feedback? So again, there's a part of that conversation that I had with our mentor. It was, as long as you're clear with every category with for the students, it helps them. He said he uses this also for peer editing. So students are able to use this as a guideline for what they know their work should look like, and also what they know their classmates' work should look like. So they can use this as a way to work together with other students in their class and kind of give them feedback. Because everything that you need is clearly stated. So I think rubrics are great for that. And he said that's why students respond very well to working with rubrics, specifically with group work, small group work and partner work. So yeah, thanks everyone. Hope you have a good day.